of a tremendous amount of icons of the kind of things that we are interested in. And so it's very easy to plunk down a person, a hospital, a handicapped person, a person with special needs, like medical facilities, old folks home. And they also, I've already made some custom things of my own because I'm just that kind of guy. I wanted the ability to put arrows on my routes because, you know, they're all like pushing back on each other. Haven't gone through and done a lot of this, but I made up these arrow icons, and you can either have them as a waypoint, sort of a substitute waypoint icon, or you can just put arrows alongside of them. They don't really have that natively, but it's quite trivial to make your own icons. I need to make an icon of the miniature Ares emblem that I'll use for those Ares volunteers. So there's a lot of customization available. And I want to talk about APRS. Right now, you can connect to, if you connect it to the internet, you can add APRS stations. It'll go out to openaprs.net and it'll grab whatever's, you know, getting to a digigate and getting on the internet. So it'll show you all the local APRS weather stations. It'll show you the mobile units. Of course, that's not great because, you know, we're thinking the internet might go down, right? They have a live RF APRS, very much like UIView. It's in beta. It's supposed to be released in June. I'm hoping it's released before the Tour de Cure. And it's going to use the AGWPE interface, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but for a TNC, it is a middleware that sits between your program and the TNC. And what it enables you to do, it enables one TNC to act like many. So UIView also uses that, and WinLink also uses it. So in the old days, you would have a TNC, and WinLink would recognize it, and that would pretty much lock it up. And if you wanted to simultaneously do APRS, you had to have a second TNC. But by running AGWPE, it will allow all three of those programs to access the same TNC. So it's excellent that they've got that interface, and that'll be coming out soon, and I look for big things from that. And the other thing that's very, very, very exciting, particularly for ham radio, is, I was gonna move this. Well, we talked about we're gonna have that standard Summit County depiction file, which is available. Maybe the police chief's got one down there, the fire chief's got one, the EMA's got one, they got one here. They got one over at the shelter, okay? So they fire that baby up. And we need a POP3 email account. So maybe we'll make up, you know, we've got volunteer.ares@neo.r.com. We could make up a Ares 1, Ares 2, Ares 3. So we have this account out there that can be read from the internet. And actually, inside the depiction program, I can add, say, a box that says power is out here. Say about the EOC. I add a box saying power is out here. I right-click on it. I email it to Ares 1. I set up the program that this is the email account I'm going to use today. I send it to that account. All the other guys who have copies of that point theirs to that same email. They get an email. They read that email that's sent out in a formatted form, and that thing pops up on their screen. So now we're all synchronized. So you can go through an event with multiple copies in multiple locations and synchronize. Well, you're saying that's fine and dandy, but we all know that when ham radio comes out, it ain't little trouble time, it's big trouble time, and there probably ain't no internet, there probably ain't no email. Well, they've already hooked it up to WinLink, where we would have a 2-meter VHF WinLink station in each of those locations. And on one of those locations, we tell the PacLink post office to establish a local server POP3 account. Let's call it Ares POP3. And then all those other guys can connect over their WinLink 2-meter email to that account with no internet. And again, their updates pop up on their screen and we stay synchronized. The beauty of this is that you read those emails, they're still there. It's like when you go on vacation and you read your email back home and they're still on the server. So let's say the police chief is out somewhere and he comes in late. It's 2 hours into the emergency. He comes home, and he finds out what's going on, and he fires up. And then bang, 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 bang. He reads 65 emails. His system reads 65 emails. And now he's up to speed the same as everybody who's been there for 2 hours. And at the end of the event, those 64 emails are there that tell us what happened when. We had a power outage in this block at this time. We had a report of gas leak at this time. All those things pop up on our screen, and then the email is sort of a log of the event. And this is a tremendous thing for amateur radio. This is kind of a bomb-proof deal here, okay? As long as you have amateur radio and you've got Winlink capability, this ties in so beautifully with Winlink, you can synchronize multiple locations to the same situational awareness. And if the Red Cross doesn't want to release a map of where their shelters are, okay, when they decide to open a shelter, they put it on their map here, they email it to the server, and we only see that, we don't have their list of shelters if they don't want us to have it, but we see the one that's open. Then we can start making decisions about routing and everything else. So, the EMA sees immediately that's where the shelter is that's open. You don't have to have a list and look it up. It goes right on the map. And you can route traffic to it. So it's tremendous. I think that's one of the greatest things about this is that amateur radio brings so much more to depiction because of the fact that we can synchronize when there's no internet. And nobody else can do that. And that is really a tremendous, it's a tremendous tie-in, I think. This is really a great opportunity for ham radio. Yeah, Bruce. So that basically is what I have about depiction. I am very excited about depiction. I think we ought to have it, and we ought to have it in multiple places. The other thing is, I talked earlier about I kind of need a stick to get me to put Winlink up. And this really ought to do it, I mean, for me, because this really could multiply the advantage. Winlink is great for sending a supply list from the Red Cross shelter to down to the EMA, but to keep everybody updated. I mean, if with a little effort, if the cell phones were still working, and the email was still working, a damage assessment guy in the field could format an email message and send it into that email, and it would pop up on all our screens, and he could even send attachments. So that whoever wants to look at that email can take that picture out and attach it next to where the damage area is. So this has for a $200 program, and it was on sale in April for volunteers for half price. And if we can get enough people, we can still get half price. But this is tremendous GIST software specifically towards emergency communications. You can get the mapping software that Walt uses in his business is Esri, like ARC. And it's like the one that doesn't do anything is $1,500. And the big one, they don't even list the price online for the full set, and that's never a good sign. Never, ever, ever a good sign. But it doesn't really it doesn't have the synchronization. It doesn't really have the built-in emergency comm stuff. It doesn't have the routing. It certainly doesn't have the ability for you to go add the roads that you need to add, right? I mean, it's tremendous leverage in this package. You might be able to tell, I'm quite excited about it. I've been spending a lot of time working on this. And in fact, if you go to depiction.com and go into forums, you'll see my name all over. I send them two or three suggestions for new features or changes to the existing feature a day. They're either going to get tired of me or they're going to give me a free copy for all my comments. I don't know which. But
could you go to a bridge in Summit County and raise the water level 1 foot above the roads, current road surface, and see what that would flood?
Well, keep in mind that the data that I've got in here is the USGS seamless 30-meter elevation data. So real small pieces are not really well resolved in. And the reason I did that is that it's file size, and it's also responding to this laptop is not that lively. So if I really had, there definitely are more detailed elevation data available. And for the purpose of this demo, I didn't really bring that.
Those wouldn't be free.
They would be free, actually. The state of Ohio, although Summit County is quite in the middle of the dark ages, Ohio is actually quite progressive. And in 2005 and 2006, They aerial photo mapped the entire state, and they made some very, very detailed elevation data available for free. You can download that off the state. And frankly, that's true in most places.